I get into that, I just want to take a moment because we are a family here, right? How many believe we're a family? And how many know that families sometimes make mistakes and sometimes things happen that can potentially offend others? And has anybody ever offended another member of their family? Has anybody ever offended themselves? I have done that. So this morning we had our announcements, and they were funny. I have to admit, they were very funny. But there was one part in it that was, to say the least, shocking. And I'll talk to Josh and Eric about it later. But I just want you to know that we have to get along. Remember that one sermon I said where we need each other? We do. We need each other. And we don't all see things the same way. We don't all have the same perspective or the same backgrounds. But what we need to know is each other's hearts. We need to know that we all believe that Jesus is Lord, and that we love him, and that he is working in our lives, and that we believe the best for each other. And the reason I'm saying all this is because sometimes when certain things happen, it causes kind of a weirdness in the air. And we had that this morning. Anybody else felt it? And I don't want to be someone just sweeps things under the carpet and then we talk. I want it so that we learn. And I don't want to make it sound like I'm necessarily mad at anybody. I'm not, because I could have done that, believe it or not. Because I start getting in, you're doing scripting and you're having fun and stuff, and you just sometimes don't put all the pieces together. So the reason I'm saying this is because I want us to be able to continue to grow together, continue to become this family that is unstoppable. We can be unstoppable. Some will say, well, that's pretty bold. Well, Jesus says that we could do all things we do greater things than him, and Paul said we could do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And I don't think that just means just having finances or just as individually. It means us as a body. And I believe God wants to do great things in this body. I believe he's planting things in our hearts and in our lives individually and corporately so that he can use us in this city to help influence the city for the better. Not to just be another church on a corner that just goes through Sunday services and maybe has some meetings and stuff, but literally where we help to influence the kingdom of God advancing in this city. How many of you want to be part of that? How many of you want to just be part of sitting on a pew or a chair on Sunday mornings and just coming and going and not having to do anything? Anybody? I mean, if you're, there we go. Okay, right there. Honesty is the best policy. I know that's not the truth, but it's like, your flesh says that. I mean, I have to agree. I mean, I'd be right there, too, if we were saying, how many of your flesh wants to say you just want to sit and not have to do anything? Amen. But how many in your spirit feel that God's doing great things in this day and stirring us? I believe that. Praise the Lord. I love you, Josh. If Eric was here, I'd say I love you, Eric, too. So, huh? I love them all, too. I'm just telling you because I just want you to know that. Good. Okay, if we turn in our Bibles to John. And I'm going to start reading at chapter 16 and verse 7, I think. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in me. of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of what is Mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are Mine. Therefore I said that He will take of Mine and declare it to you. A little while and you will not see Me, and again a little while and you will see Me, because I go to the Father. Lord, I just ask this morning, God, that what You want to say, Lord, in this time of sharing, Lord, time of communicating what You've put on my heart, Lord, that our hearts would be able to understand, Lord, what's spoken. Lord, that it would not just be words on a page, Lord, it would not just be a communication from an orator, Lord, but it would be truly from You. Lord, we live in times that are becoming very perilous. They're becoming very difficult to navigate. And Lord, we need truth now more than ever. Lord, we need the reality of Jesus Christ now more than ever. And so, Lord, I pray today, Lord, that You'd help us to hear that You're there, that you're speaking and you're communicating. And Holy Spirit, if we would just take time to listen to You, You would reveal all truth to us. And we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Jesus says here, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is your advantage that I go away." Can you imagine what they were thinking? It's to our advantage that you go away? Wait a minute. You're the one that's raising the dead. You're the one that's taken me from a job of fishing, and I'm a somebody now. I mean, you know, we're doing things that are, you know, are helping people. I mean, I don't get what you're saying. What do you mean it's to my advantage that you go away? It's to our advantage that you go away. It didn't make sense to them. It almost doesn't make sense to me here, because having Jesus one-on-one, flesh on flesh, you know, talking to Him, conversing with Him, having all these, that's got to be amazing. Have any of you wanted to, like, just think, can I just be a fly on the wall when they were ripping that roof off and lowering that man down, that paralytic? His friends went and dropped him right in the middle of a Jesus meeting, you know. And all of a sudden people are like, "Oh, what's going on? Oh, they've ripped that guy's roof off. That's not going to be good." I mean, it's like nobody says that. I mean, it's just this guy's in the middle of the room now. And Jesus says, "Hey, your sins are forgiven." And can you imagine being a fly there? I mean, a fly or person there. It's like, you know, being able to see something like that. Or been one of the disciples and seen it happen. It's to my advantage that you go. This, I'm not getting this, Jesus, and I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. He says, the Helper will not come to you if He doesn't go away. The Helper. So, if it was to their advantage that Jesus went away to send the Helper, it's to our advantage that the Helper's here. It's better for us. This is hard for us to understand, but it's actually better for us to have the Holy Spirit than Jesus in physical form. Now, that's hard for some people to relate to, but that's what He's telling them. He says, it's better for you that I'm not going to be here and the Holy Spirit's going to be here in my place. So we have it better than the disciples did when Jesus was there with them walking on the Sea of Galilee. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't make sense. Well, let's read on. Maybe we'll figure out why. He says, but if I depart, I will send Him to you. Notice it's Him. Capital H in most Bibles. It's not it. The Holy Spirit is not an it or a thing. Holy Spirit is God. And he's basically saying, if I depart, I will send God to you. Well, Jesus, you've been telling us you're God. How many of you know that Jesus could be in one place at one time? He could only be in one place at a time. He could not be in Jerusalem and Jericho at the same time when he was walking the earth. He could only be in Jericho. He could only minister in Jericho at that time because that's where he was. How many know that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus is everywhere now? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Now, this is very interesting, and I want you to keep this in mind, that when you're sharing your faith with somebody, you're communicating to them, and you're trying to win them to Christ, or you're trying to share the good news with them, that the Holy Spirit's doing three things, at least, in their life at that time. Holy Spirit is convicting them of sin. Why? Because they do not believe in me. So, when they're not believing in Christ, the Holy Spirit's convicting them of sin. I remember when I wasn't believing in Christ, I was like questioning all the things I was starting to do just before I got saved. That's like, oh man, this is sin. And then, I mean, I didn't call it sin. I just said, this is wrong, you know, and I get done doing something, that's wrong, you know, and everything I was doing, I had this little voice in me saying, that's wrong. That was the Holy Spirit just saying, hey, the life you're living is not right. And then it says, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of righteousness. I started realizing I had sin, and I started realizing that I wasn't righteous. That I started realizing something was wrong inside of me. So this is good news when we're sharing with people, because we don't even know how prepared God has made them when we walk up to them. They may be just right ready. The Holy Spirit may have been convicting them for months of their sin, of that they need righteousness. And we have the good news. That's why when we speak the word of God and we speak the truth of the Lord, we don't know what kind of soil we're going into. God may have prepared a vast field that it's just going to produce a huge harvest. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Who's the ruler of that world, this world at that time? Satan, and he was judged. And the things that we do before we're in Christ are of the world, they're of Satan. You guys know that? When we live for Christ and we do things that are about his kingdom, that worship him, that are about what he's asked us to do, we're worshiping God. But when we were in the world, we were worshiping Satan. And we were being judged because we're in his kingdom. Praise God. When we are saved, we're taken out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of the Son of his love. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them or wouldn't be able to even take them in at this time. However, this is the key. When he, again, capital H, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, we live in how many believe we're living in a darker day? It's getting to be more and more dangerous out there. There's getting to be more and more false teachings. Some of the other world religions are growing. Muslim is growing at a huge rate. They're going in and taking over some countries and stuff. And you know what? The church is I guess we're growing too, but it's like the truth is kind of being watered down. It's like the true core values of what it means to be a Christian are becoming less and less important. I mean, there's actually a group of churches out there who have become part of what's like Chrislam, and that's Muslim and Christianity together. And they're saying we can get along, you know, we're part of the same God, you know. Well, that's like saying, that basically gas, huh? Oil and water mix, yeah. Or that, you know, that gasoline and a match are a good thing. You know, it's not. It's volatile. And I believe that we have got to know the truth. Not just so that we're made free, but so that we can live free. A constant free life. So some of you say, well, you know the truth by, getting on the internet, or you watch TBN, or you just read your Bible. And I mean, all those things are good, but we have to realize that in the early church, they did not have the system that we have. They did not have, you know, all of this religious structure. You know, some of them would get saved and the apostle would come and then they'd be gone. You know, they may be just traveling through. What did they have to rely on? The Holy Spirit. And folks, I'm telling you, we're going to have to learn to rely on the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to learn to know His voice. We're going to have to learn to know that He is our guide into truth. Now, I can do, sometimes, you know, a great job at trying to communicate a truth out of this word. But still, at the very best, I'm still just a man. And I'm trying to communicate what the Spirit's putting on my heart at the time with human words. When we have the Spirit of truth abiding in us, living in us, if we turn, where is it here? Listen to this. This is John 14:17, just two chapters back. It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him," and that's that word where we're talking about the knowing of God, "for he dwells with you and will be in you." So where does the Spirit of truth reside? In us. Not in some service on a Sunday morning. That's not when you get the Spirit of truth. Or, you know, some Bible study you may be at that, you know, some leader there is really good at teaching. There's nothing wrong with doctrine, nothing wrong with teaching, nothing wrong with Bible studies. I go to them. But I'm telling you, we have to learn to hear the voice of God ourselves. We have to learn to be able to hear the Spirit, the still small voice of the Spirit, teaching us truths. It says that He will guide you into all truth. Now, how many know, how many been like on an African safari? Anybody? How about into the Panama jungle? Anybody here? My dad could raise his hands. He's been like in Panama, and he's like a fortune hunter, and he's not saved, by the way, but I mean, he's in his 70s. He's still talking about going back to Bolivia and finding some, you know, treasure, you know, so. But maybe that's where I get some of the crazy adventure in God. I don't know. But my point being is that, you know, if you don't know the territory you're going into, a guide is a good thing. I guess I hear there's certain countries that you don't even want to go to, or certain places you don't want to go, unless you have a guide. So they tell you, don't go that way. That's very dangerous. We'll go this way and I'll lead. That's what the Holy Spirit's there for. He's our guide. He's to say, don't go there. That's a dangerous spot. Go over here. I mean, you know, the truth isn't just necessarily knowing the Bible. The truth is knowing who we are in God, His plan for our life, His plan for our family's life. Those are truths. It doesn't have to be just know the Bible. It's knowing God, knowing Him personally, intimately, closely. But listen to this. Where is He again? Oops, I missed it. He's in us. For He dwells with you, and He will be in you. See, that's something we have to remember when we're, you know, say, oh, I'm so confused, I don't get it. Say, Holy Spirit, You're in me. Reveal Your truth. Now, I know some of you have read Your Word and studied Your Word, and you get truths in your heart, but there's sometimes you hear certain teaching, and maybe you haven't been taught that before, or the opposite of it, but immediately you hear it, and you go, that's not right. And something in you says, that's not right, what they're saying. And it's not like you were taught, know this. No, it's the truth giver, the Holy Spirit, saying, uh-uh. That's baloney. Don't buy into that. However, When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit, guide us, lead us. Don't let us be on our own. We need you. See, part of having a guide is getting one. I mean, you have to know. I mean, we could go to that country, say it's Panama, and we say we've got this expedition we have to go on, but we don't look for a guide. And they're all over the place, you know, and you don't say, well, I'm going to do it myself. And some of us are living life like that. We're going to dangerous spots, difficult situations, and we're basically doing it on our own when we don't have to. The Holy Spirit is there for us. And it was better that Jesus went away so we could have the Holy Spirit. So it tells me that how many of you, if you guys knew that Jesus was having a conference at the convention center tonight at 6 o'clock, I don't care what you have on your schedule, you would go. Come on. 6 o'clock tonight. Convention center. Few of you aren't going to go. I can't believe it. Jesus is coming. He sent you a text, you know, and an email, and some angelic beings came to your house and knocked on your door. We're having a meeting at 6. I know some of you say, this is not doctrinal. I don't care. I just want you to go with me here for a minute. Convention center, 6 o'clock. How many of us would be there? Everybody would be there. If we knew Jesus, if he proved he's going to be there, to make some kind of announcement, I don't know why, but the point being is we would be there. Now, we have the Holy Spirit in us. We don't have to go to the convention center. We don't have to come to church to get God. He's there. Do you hear where I'm coming from? We need to say, Holy Spirit, you're here. You're in me. Speak to me. This is part of this is knowing God. This is going into intimacy. This is going beyond just reading a book or having some rote prayer that you say or going. This is when you start to really have fellowship with God, is through the Holy Spirit. It says here, he will not speak on his own authority. I think this is very interesting. He won't speak on his own authority. Why not? Well, we'll read a little bit longer. Jesus said, I don't speak on my own authority. But wait a minute, Jesus, you said, be healed, and they were healed. You said, rise up, and they rose up. What do you mean you don't speak on your own authority? There's something about the Trinity, the Godhead, where each one defers to the other. Holy Spirit's not just here to say, I'm Holy Spirit, magnify me. He's pointing to the Son and the Father. What did the Son do? Point to the Spirit and the Father. What did the Father do? Point to the Spirit and the Son. They are in union with everything that they do. And see, when we go out, we don't speak on our own authority. We speak on the authority of the one that's backing us. But whatever he hears, he will speak. So whatever he hears, he will speak. Who's he going to speak it to? Us. Now some of you may again go, okay, Pastor Mike, you're way off base here because he's speaking to his disciples. He's not speaking to me. No, don't do that. If he's speaking this to his disciples, it applies to us. It doesn't just apply to his disciples or the apostles. It applies to us. So the Holy Spirit wants to speak. The Holy Spirit is speaking. The key is, are we listening? Remember last week we talked about obedience being better than sacrifice. And what was the key to obedience? Hearing. Not just hearing blah, 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 but hearing the heart of the person. Hearing the desire of the person. And the person of the Holy Spirit has a heart and has a desire and wants to communicate that to you and I. Why? So that we can know stuff? No, so that we can be more like Jesus. Jesus was saying it like this. It's better for you that I go away because I'm going to send the helper. And the helper's job is to make you like me. That's what he's saying. It's better for you that I go away because you're going to become more like me. Just as you've seen me, you've seen the Father. People are going to see you and they're going to see me. And he didn't mean that just for the disciples. He meant that for every single one of us. He will tell you of things to come. Some of you may say, "You mean God can tell me what's going to come?" Yeah. God can speak to your heart and say, "Hold on, there's going to be some shaky times ahead, but it's okay. You're in my hand." And the shaky times come, and guess what? You're not as afraid. You're not fearful because the Holy Spirit's comforted you. So listen to this. He will glorify me, who's that? Jesus, and he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. So what does Jesus have? Pastor Ken always used to have a great saying, and he says, whatever the Father has, the Son has. Whatever the Son has, the Spirit has. And whatever the Spirit has, guess what? We have. Because the Holy Spirit is the administrator of all the things that God has. He is the one who distributes all the giftings, all the power, all the life, all the revelation, all the knowledge, all the understanding. The Holy Spirit is there for us. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Jesus saying, all things that God has in heaven are mine. Therefore I said, he will take of what is mine, of mine, and declare it to you. Holy Spirit's going to take what Jesus had, and that's everything the Father has, and he's going to declare it or give it to us. So should we be people that are trying to, you know, figure things out on our own? Or should we be people who rely on the voice of the Spirit inside of us, the leading of the Spirit inside of us? See, this is something that you just can't hear this message and just go, okay, that was a good message, and just go on. This is something you have to respond to. This is something like when you're laying in bed at night or you're getting up tomorrow morning, you're saying, Holy Spirit, start speaking to me. Pastor Mike says, you're there. Lord Jesus, you're inside of me by your Spirit. Speak to me. Don't let my ears be deaf. Don't let me be someone that just hears something and that I don't respond to you. Or you tell me to do something and I, in disobedience, do the opposite. Help me to be obedient to what you tell me. Because see, it's in the obedience that he continues to speak to you. You know, I was talking a little bit last week about, you know, how Pastor Gay had told me to do something. And I thought I had heard it and I did it, but I didn't hear everything, you know. And that was, you know, she had a lot of grace and stuff, you know. But what do you think it would be like if someone, your wife or your husband or an employer, kept telling you to do things and you never did them? If it was a job, what would probably happen? Potentially be fired, you know. I say potentially because I know there's, you know, once you get tenure and stuff, it's like, you know, it's almost impossible. But most likely you're going to get fired. If it's your spouse, what's going to happen? Well, they're probably going to stop talking to you. They're going to stop asking, right? They're going to say, they don't listen. I'm wasting my breath. Could it possibly be that some of us have for so long turned off the voice, responded in a negative way, that what we've done is the Holy Spirit's going, just waiting for us to say, forgive me, give me another try. Could it possibly be? Sometimes people say, I don't hear the Lord anymore. Well, maybe it's that you heard him so many times, you said no to simple things, he's just quiet right now. It could happen. He's a person. We can quench the Spirit. We can make it so that he's disappointed. They're saying, boy, you're making God sound like, you know, he's got a complex. Not necessarily, but he wants to know, like anybody, that we care. He loves us. He wants to be in our lives 100%. But if we push him away, He's not going to force himself, is he? I mean, there's some of our family members, we'd love for him to force himself upon them, but he won't do it. He's given us this thing called free will, and our free will works even as Christians. And we can say, God, talk to the hand, right? Who would say that to God? Nobody would say it, but our actions declare it. I've done it. As a matter of fact, I almost did it this week. I was purchasing something, and everything, you know, Gay was good with it, and everything else lined up, and went and purchased it. And, you know, I didn't necessarily ask God, you know, because it seemed, you know, it's too trivial to ask God. You know, it's like, it's a need, you know. I quantified that it was a need, you know. So by the end of the week, I'm praying on Friday morning and praying with somebody. And while I'm praying with them, the Lord said, you need to do this. And I said, oh, that can't be the Lord. You need to cancel that. Oh, no, that definitely can't be the Lord, you know. And so a little later on, I was meeting with someone else, and the Lord said it again, praying with them, you need to cancel that. I'm like, Lord, is that you? You know, I'm not getting all the details. But the point being is, you know, he's talking to me, and I'm you know, doing a little bit of this. Finally, he did it a third time. I said, okay, I hear and I obey. And so I haven't been able to physically do it, but I'm going to go ahead and go through the action which I've actually verbally said. Reason I'm saying this is, what if I would have just said, no, that can't pop. Third time, you know, it's like, and if it is, he'll forgive me. It's not a big deal. But it might be a big deal. We don't know whose life our obedience will affect. We do not know how we are going to literally change somebody else's environment by our obedience. I mean, I look at Joseph, and his obedience made it so that a nation was saved. And his obedience caused difficult times for him, right? When he was being tempted and seduced by Potiphar's wife, if he would have just gave in, you know, would he have been thrown in prison? Oh, she probably wouldn't have said anything then. You know, that's what he could have justified in his mind. But his obedience said, nope, I'm not going to do this. And he ended up going to prison falsely. And eventually, his obedience saved a nation. A little while and you will not see me. And again, a little while and you will see me, because I go to the Father. Verse 7 again, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is reality, folks. That's what he's saying. Nevertheless, I'm going to give you a reality. It is to your benefit. It is to your advantage. It is so much better for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. He has gone to be with the Father. Someday Jesus is coming back in all of his glory and splendor. But right now, he's here through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to go to the convention center at 6 o'clock. I know some of you were thinking that. But Pastor Mike, I don't want to fall for your trap. The point being is, he's here right now. And he wants to speak to us like never before. I mean, if we would just take time out of our day, turn off all the input, turn off the praise and worship music. Really? Yeah, sometimes that can even become a distraction. You start singing the songs, you're not even praying. And just say, Holy Spirit, I'm here, speak to me. It may surprise you what he says. He may just tell you he loves you. Oh, it felt so good for you to tell me you love me, Lord. Thank you. May tell you he's got great plans for your life. Maybe we'll tell you some of those plans. He may ask you to stop doing something. He may ask you to start doing something. He may communicate just that you're his, which that's really an amazing thing to hear. You're mine, child. And maybe some of you are going to hear all of that and you're going to be blown away. But we have to listen. We have to have ears that hear, hearts that believe. We cannot just continue to just come to church thinking that, you know, by coming to church, we're literally going to, you know, be transformed into the image of Jesus. We're not. It will not do it. I don't care if you're here every Sunday now until you die on Sunday and you do nothing else during the, it's not going to happen. This has got to be an intimate communication. This has got to be an intimate relationship. This has to be something that is so personal and so valuable to you that you treasure God speaking to you so that you won't do anything in your life to keep him from speaking to you. Go ahead and stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, you are truth. You are reality. That's who you are. Anything else outside of you is a lie. Anything outside of you is a lie. Is false. Help us to see that, Lord. Help us come to the revelation that you are the truth and that the truth lives in us. Lord, you went to go on and say that you have really no need for a man to teach you because the Holy Spirit will teach us. That goes against everything that we have been taught as people. We've been taught that we need people to teach us. You are the truth. Spirit of God, reveal all truth to us. Right now, speak to hearts. Confirm your word with signs following. Lord, we commit our lives to you. We commit our coming days, hours, activities to you. And everything that we say or do, let it be out of truth. Let it be out of reality. Lord, don't let them just be words that we utter right now or think in our hearts, Lord, but let them be, Lord, changes that we do, choices that we make. You've started a great work in us, Lord. You are going to be the one that completes it. Your faithfulness can't stop it from happening. It's going to be there. It's going to literally take place in our lives. We will become the people you've called us to be. We praise your name. We thank you, Lord. Going to open the altar up for a moment. If there's anyone here that really wants to hear God more and knows that maybe they have been closing their ear to Him or putting their hand up to Him, and you just want to make a declaration that, Lord, I'm going to listen. I'm going to listen and I'm going to respond in faith to you. Even if I don't understand what's going to happen from responding in obedience, I'm going to do it anyway, because I know you're for me. You're not against me. You would not ask me anything that would hurt me. You want to bless me. If that's you, just take a moment to step up here. Thank you, Jesus. We want to hear you more. We don't want to just be going through motions, Lord. We want to know you. Speak to us, Holy Spirit. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our lives now, Lord, as we commit ourselves to you, Lord. We want to respond in a yay. We want to respond in a yes, Lord. We want to go the extra mile, God, to make our declaration true to you now. I pray for each and every one that's come up here, Lord, and for those who haven't had the courage yet, God, I pray that as they take these steps in the coming days, Lord, that you will show yourself strong on their behalf. Lord, you'll do great things in their lives, Lord, through their obedience to you, through their listening to you, Holy Spirit. Let your truth just radiate in their hearts. Let your truth be revealed in such a way that they are free. Thank you for this now. Thank you for it now. I pray right now, Lord, that your truth will be revealed in her heart. I pray right now, God, that you would just release your truth in a new way to my brother. Release your truth right now, Lord Jesus, in a powerful way. My sister, in Jesus' name. We release your truth in Jesus' name. Your truth. Spirit of truth, release your truth now in Jesus' name. Spirit of truth, release truth. Truth, reality right now in Jesus' name. Jesus. Obedience, Lord. Truth, God.
Our desire to know you.
Yes, Lord. This week, speak your word to us, God. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Open our ears to hear. Open our eyes to see. Open our hearts to receive, Lord. It's our desire to know you more. Make it a reality. Make it a reality in our lives, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you all.